Step into your private luxury premium blocked party episode. The content you can only get by giving us your money. Look at you, you're such a big time.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another bonus edition of Block Party. This is the After Party 17, another hangout episode here on the Block Party Patreon. I don't really know how to intro these. I don't have like a big intro.
There's no structure to this at all.
It's loose.
It's very
now
loose.
Now that we're doing four bonus episodes a month, we are out of ideas, folks.
Yeah.
So we're
okay. Expectations and just get rid of them. This is going to be pretty loose.
I think that's smart. Our guest knows what we should be doing here.
That's right. This is our returning guest to the program. Stefan, you kind of sounded like you were going to introduce him there for a second.
I was, and then I was like, no, I can't. I can't.
I mean, you can if you want to. You want to try it?
It
is a bonus episode, so you can.
Tom is here.
Oh my God. Okay, that was horrible. So we're going to have to read. No, we're going to read. Dan,
are you sure? That was pretty good.
No, that was horrible.
Our friend Tom is here.
But we have
for the podcast.
Hi,
Tom.
All right. So this is a returning guest to the program. One of our favorites here on Block Party. He's one half of the comedy sketch duo Hip Bang.
You're showing off at this
point. Very funny man. Tom Hill is here. Hi, Tom.
Wow. Thank you so much.
Which intro did you prefer? And you can be brutally honest.
You know what? It's nice to be called a friend.
Okay.
I don't think there's anything you could be prouder of than to be a friend.
It's great.
And so
that's a good.
Sure,
that's
we
a good.
Have careers,
very diplomatic.
And we have achievements, and we make things. But what we're really making is friendships and relationships.
Wow! Oh my God, that's true. That
so
is
maybe
true.
That is the scale we should introduce all our guests. Our next guest is an acquaintance.
Yeah.
I only know them from online. We've never met in real life, but if we had, I would assume we would be friends.
Our next guest is someone that I hope over the next hour I will make a lasting connection with and be able to stay in touch with after this podcast recording.
I think that like it is hard sometimes not to like obviously parasocial relationships are like a real thing.
Yeah, and they kick ass.
Especially in this age of podcasts and everything. But it is like it is sometimes hard when you have like because Stefan and I have had some really amazing guests on the show that like people I've admired for a long time. And it's hard not to be like, yeah, like, you know, we're tight. We're friends. We're pals. You know, it's like we're not friends.
We're not. No. Yeah. No.
But we kind of are in a way.
Sort of, you know. Yeah.
So that's how we always. But Tom, in this case, we are real life friends. I mean, I've known you for what? A decade now, probably.
Yeah. 30, 40 years, I think.
Our whole lives.
I feel like Tom and I are friends because you make fun of me on Instagram when I hide my hands. I mean, I haven't done this for a while because we haven't recorded in person at the studio at John's apartment where I would hide my hands behind my back whenever we would take the picture. But you would always call me out for that, and I appreciate that. You know,
Stefan, it is still a thing. You rarely, even I noticed today in the photo for this episode, your hands weren't visible. It's
no, but
thing.
you could sort of see them. I was holding the cat up, right? So you could still sort of see
them.
But
hiding them in the cat's fur.
Buried in the fur.
Yes.
But it was like implied that there were hands there.
Oh,
right?
That doesn't.
I suppose.
The hands were implied.
Hands everywhere. I've got, it's implied I've got hands below me now, but
now did you guys have your hands up in the picture?
I did.
I didn't actually. Sometimes I will give like a little piece or like a thumbs up, but I didn't in this case. But
I just occasionally like to remind people that I have hands and I'm not afraid to show them off a bit. I know that's something you are afraid of, Stefan. That's okay.
Dan's scratching his armpit right now.
Yeah.
He's got his hands. He's showing off. Yeah.
Great hands, Dan.
I would say, Stefan, that was a really like shitty response, though. And Tom was like, you hide your hands all the time. He's like, well, my hands are implied. Like, that is kind of what hiding is in general, isn't it?
No, but it's especially with the cat. It's like, well, how is he holding the cat? He's not holding the cat with like his arms aren't like phasing through the cat. You know, there's something there holding the cat. Most likely hands, I can assume. Right. And so, and I think if you look at the picture, you can probably see maybe the outline of my hands, but again, covered in like the cat's fur, but they're there. I mean, the hands are there. If we look at this picture, I guarantee you can see some hand.
For all we know, Stefan, that cat is being held up on its own weight and it's got its implied feet lifting off your implied shoulders and it's using that to stand on its own. And you just have your arm in there.
Okay. She does do that from time to time. So you might be
very true. And okay. Tom, remind me. So what's the theory here on Stefan hiding his hands? Like, what do you think it's about?
Gosh, there's so many layers to it, John. And I do remember all of the jokes we were making. I do remember why we were talking about it.
From
so
like a year and a half ago.
Wasn't it because I said I could stretch an octave on a piano?
Mm.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I could.
It's simply size related.
Yeah. But I could.
That's exactly
I
what it was.
We figured out that
you couldn't stretch an octave on a piano.
But I could. We figured out that I could, remember? We did prove it at some point. There was proof.
That sounds like
well, it was implied, Stefan. We couldn't really tell.
Yeah, but I mean, you like I think what it was. I don't have access to a piano, but I believe we looked at like the average measurements for like piano keys, like an octave, and then we measured my hands, or I measured my hands, and it was like, okay, yeah, he could very easily do that. You know, he has very long, spindly fingers, and I'm holding my hands up now. You can like look at this.
You're holding Tom. I just took a just camera. And-
It's just for the record, sucks. I did take a picture of Stefan holding his hand up, so he will no longer be able to hide his hands from the world.
You know what? I appreciate it. I'm ready to show them off.
It's time. It is time. I think everyone will feel better if you're able to come forward with that photo, Stefan.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I think you, like your hands are a little like you almost have like hand model-esque hands. Like they're
Thank
very
you.
Spindly, yeah, which I think we probably talked about with Tom last time. Like it feels like you could...
Yeah, yeah, look at these. I mean, look at these bad boys.
Throw some of those male engagement rings on there that Tiffany's making now, and you'll be good to go.
Look how long these fingers are. I mean, come on. Yeah. You know?
Spindly.
Great hands. Yeah. Yeah. Let me see your guys' hands.
Okay. Tom.
Those are nice. Those are great hands.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Solid hands.
Those are just like classic hands, you know?
Mine are small. I got small hands.
Are my hands bigger than yours?
I feel like we've been over this before. I got really deep lines here, I feel like, compared to you guys. My palms are like, geez, a palm reader would just be ready to rock here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this is the, which is good for a podcast, right? It's sort of a palm reading.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's what, I mean, Stefan was talking about his partner starting a podcast, and she's been doing, like, I see, like, daily tarot readings and stuff like that. Like, is she getting into palm stuff too, Stefan?
No, it's mostly tarot. I think a big part of it is, like, collecting all of, like, the cool different, like, tarot decks. Like, there's obviously just, like, an endless, like, supply of them. And they're all very, like, neat. And she has just, like, a huge collection of them. And it's, like, it's not like I can judge because I have, like, a bunch of, like, stupid shoes. And like, you know, like movies, I have like collections of things that I don't necessarily need, but yeah, she has like a ton of them and they're neat, you know? And I do always look for the card from my post about the hot air balloon, you know, that's like the classic, you know, going
Still
through
hasn't
like my
shown
classic
up. Someone
post
should
here.
Make that for you.
Someone did make it on Twitter and replied to me with it. And I got to see if I can find it again. And someone posted it on Instagram as well. It was a very cool, like custom tarot card. Can we watch the Joey video now? I've been jonesing to go on this.
Okay. Before we get there for one second, what are the tarot like suits? There's like cups, swords, moons.
Swords. I mean, moons? I'm the wrong guy to,
are moons
I can get Irene in here right now. We can ask her.
Okay, because is there still four suits like car? Like,
I'm gonna ask her right now.
Let's ask her right now.
Let's see if she's willing to.
Joker like.
Yes,
I think they've got
Joker,
like the instruction cards
question.
Still. Yeah, I'm gonna go ask right now.
What are the rules of hearts if you're using tarot cards?
Oh, that's a great question.
Which one's the Queen of Spades?
And that would be a huge question for hearts. You'd have to all be on the same page as to what the Queen of Spades is. Like, imagine we both had different ideas of what the Queen of Spades could be.
I mean, that's sort of the energy of tarot. There are like a bunch of queens of spades, depending on the other cards that you play, right?
True.
You could get some really bad, this is deep hearts talk, but you know, you get some really bad news with one card.
It's true. There's not a much better feeling, I would say, in just card games in general than when you get all the hearts and the queen of spades and you fuck everyone else.
Depending on your scoring, you either get tons of points off your score or you jam everybody else up.
It's beautiful.
Hearts living.
It is. Okay.
Okay. It's cups, swords, wands, and pentacles.
Oh, jeez. Pentacles. Wasn't expecting that.
I wasn't going to guess
like
that one.
Like a devil tentacle?
Man, yeah, I'm going to see what it is. What's a pentacle?
I was going to say, you're going to have to go back and ask Irene what a pentacle is.
It's like a star in like a circle. It's like one of the, it's like a pentagram.
So like
almost
what
like
we
pentagram.
Think is a pentagram.
I guess a pentagram is upside down. And so this would be the star like right side up. With like just the point at the top there. So we're pentacles. Learning a lot right now. This is nice.
Wands.
This is good.
We'd have been here all day. I would have never.
I know, but
wands.
It makes sense though, right? Like it does make sense. Yeah.
Tarot's kind of like magic. Yeah. Tom, have you ever had your tarot? Have you ever done a tarot reading? I never have.
I never have. My partner's pretty into tarot.
Okay.
And so I always, you know, I would say I play the role of like being ready for our day to change after a tarot reading.
Yeah.
Because it can go a lot of ways. And I feel like I come up a lot. So it's just a real, you know, balanced on your feet, ready for tears, ready for celebration.
Oh, okay. This is like, it affects her that deeply. She gets a reading and then it's like, you know, they said, oh, shit, Tom's going to die or something. And then that's the rest of her day is ruined.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my God. That reminds me of, sorry, it just came to mind, but it really makes me laugh. My partner... I got the vaccine. Shout out to vaccines.
Yeah.
And I got pretty like laid low with whatever, my body dealing with it. And so my partner decides to sleep in the living room because I'm probably going to be like thrashing and super hot and like whatever. Nice of her to do that, I guess. Give that space. Then in the middle of the night, she's like, she wakes up and she's like, oh my God, I think Tom's probably dead. Like, I think he's died. He was really sick when he went in there. And anyway, I won't check on him. She doesn't check on me. She's certain I've died, but it's just like, I'll check in the morning. It's like, what are we doing here? What are we on about?
Why would she even tell you that part? Like, why wouldn't she could have been like, oh, I was so worried when I woke up this morning. I woke up this morning and I was like, oh my God, I thought you were dead. And I came in the room right away. Like she didn't have to fill in those gaps for you.
I couldn't even believe it. I was going to post about it and I thought it would just read like it would look too bad.
Yeah.
She thought I might be dead. And
do you just have a really comfortable like futon in the living room or?
Yeah, I mean, it's a comfortable couch for sure.
Okay.
You can get a good sleep on that couch.
Yeah, because I find sometimes, honestly, couches can be like, I'm going to say it, sometimes couches can be more comfortable than beds, you know?
For sure.
Honestly, for real.
It's
so
comfortable that if the person in your life you care most about
had died,
has potentially died, you still wouldn't pop up to check until you wrap up that snooze.
Yeah, it makes sense.
That would be,
I mean,
honestly, if someone tried to sell me a couch like that, that would be an instant buy for me. This thing is so 100%. Comfortable to sleep on. If you thought your partner died in the other room, you wouldn't even get up to check.
You'd give it a couple hours before you checked.
At least.
Yeah. Wait till
was
the sun
it,
comes
do you
out.
Think it was like, did she have a dream where it was like, is that what it was? Like, because I do that sometimes too, where I'll wake up from a dream and I have a brief moment of like, this is real. Or was she lucid, like I'm awake and I know Tom's dead?
I think it was in the middle. She seemed like pretty, you know, like it was sort of maybe dream inspired, but she had a just kind of a feeling, you know, the kind of thing you might get from a tarot reading, perhaps, you know, a strong premonition.
Yeah.
But yeah, no check. I think we're doing pretty good in the relationship, though, surprisingly, to hear that. it really rocked me.
That would rock me too. I mean, because I've had this happen before. Maybe you guys have as well. Not with Becca, but with an ex where she woke up and I had cheated on her in the dream.
Oh, and she got mad at you.
And she was like legitimately real life mad at me for hours. Like this wasn't like a wake up 10 minutes. Okay, I've had my coffee. I'm awake now. I get it. You didn't cheat on me for real. This was like, it affected her for most of the day. Like it was probably around dinner time when she started to come back to like
okay, yeah, no, like you didn't cheat on me or whatever. Have you guys had that experience before? Because that was truly, I was like, how could you be mad at me? She's like, I'm not mad. I just like, it's just really hard to be around you right now. That's like,
I think for me, I feel like I haven't had that, but Irene has gotten mad at me for like, maybe it was like not liking her cooking in a dream or something.
Right.
Like along those lines, but it was still the same thing where it was like, she woke up and was like mad at me for something. I mean, you came up with it. I didn't say that. That was you. That was your idea of me. I would never say that. That was a dream. You should be mad at the dream. You should be mad at yourself for inventing that. It wasn't me. Yeah. But of course, that doesn't help. That makes things much worse.
Now,
say that.
Now it is.
Yeah. You. Cause now it is me for saying that. So yeah. Yeah.
My experience with, I have really, yeah. A thin boundary between dreams and reality, I would say. There's going in, you can talk to me while I'm in a dream, and I'll respond to you within that context, and vice versa. But anyway, I would say my strongest association is when I was in like late high school. I woke up and I was like, oh, I am so happy in my relationship. It feels so good to feel so good with this person. Oh, life is good. I'm gonna give her a call. I'm gonna dial her up. Okay, just get my phone out and what is her name? Okay, I know her name, of course. We're in a relationship, it's so great. I just can't remember her name and I realize she doesn't exist. It's just a dream. There's no relationship. Like,
but it felt so real.
Certain. Oh, so real.
Oh my God.
It was probably half an hour into the day that I actually got up to, you know, finally just had to speak to her. It felt so good. Oh.
Man,
God,
laid me low.
Yeah, I would lay. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, well, I've talked about this on the show before. I've had dreams where I think me and Sidney Crosby are friends, and it's only ever Sidney Crosby, and I don't know why. And I've had the exact same thing, Tom, where I had this one dream where I was
Have you
like
had multiple dreams about Sidney Crosby.
Oh man, this is like I would say 10 plus,
wow.
10 plus dreams where I wake up and I'm like, it's same kind of deal, Tom. Like, yeah, Sidney and I are really good friends. And there was one.
His full name Sidney.
Yeah, that's he prefers that actually. A lot of people think he likes Sid, but it's not a Sidney. And so there was one time in particular where I remember, and I used to, in my old house, it was an older house, so there were no plugs near the bed. So I would have to plug my phone in, like kind of across the room. So there was no sort of checking your phone at night. And I remember like waking up, I think to like, maybe I had to pee or something, woke up at like 7 a.m. and specifically like got up to same kind of thing, text Sid. And I like opened my contacts and I was like, go to C. And I'm like, oh, there's no, okay. Maybe I have it under S, scrolling down to like S. And then, yeah. And then I had to have the like, oh, right. It's not, he's a famous person that I've never met before. And I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry, John.
Yeah, I'm really sorry about that, John. When you have him on the podcast eventually, because I'm sure you will, you guys are doing really well.
Thank you.
You can introduce him as someone that you've been dreaming about for years and that you're excited to call a friend after doing the podcast with.
I honestly don't know if we could have a worse guest on this show than Sidney Crosby.
He's like the most boring man alive.
He's so boring, and I feel like he has no idea. He wouldn't know anything about online at all. Like, he feels like a guy who has like no
apps on
his phone.
Is he even on Twitter?
No.
He's not. He doesn't even have like an account. He's not even, yeah, he doesn't have an account that's like just run by like a PR team.
No,
it's like he's just
he doesn't
not
even
online.
Have that. He won't even allow that. Nothing. Yeah, he doesn't.
He's just a stone.
He's a stone. I think I told this story on the pod before too. But I know a friend of mine went on a friend of a friend went on a date with him. This is going back probably like 10 years. And yeah, said like he was like a perfect gentleman and really nice guy, but he just has no clue of what's going on in the world or in like life. Like he just, if it's not hockey,
yeah,
he doesn't know anything. He just, that's all he can talk about. It's all he knows.
I mean, I guess that's why
he's
so good at
hockey.
Which is
like sort
of
a blissful existence, you know? Yeah. Imagine that you could make, you know, $10 million a year and not engage with the world at all. You're like, you have an awesome job and you just don't have to.
Yeah.
Think
just
about
like
the world
luckiest,
ever.
Most privileged person alive, basically. Yeah. Not stressed about anything except for hockey. Oh my God. Okay. Look, we haven't watched a Joey video on the pod for a while. I feel like, Tom, are you familiar with Joey's world tour?
Not deeply.
Okay, but you know he's like a fast food review guy, and he's got, oh my god, he's like very deeply connected.
His skin looks green, like he just doesn't look healthy.
So this is an early video. This is from 2013, his first year on YouTube. And this is the first video where he does the very long "I'm Beak" that he does at the beginning of most of his videos. And he also, so he has a recurring
bit. That
was
good, Stefan. I like that in Joey impression there.
I mean, I've watched so much fucking Joey that if I had a bad Joey impression at this point, that would just be embarrassing. But so he also has a bit.
Hello, muchachos and muchachas.
That's not bad. I mean, that's not bad. He's got a bit where he will say, he'll like pick the lettuce off a sandwich or a burger and say like, "This is lechuga," which of course is, you know, Japanese for lettuce, or, you know, French for lettuce. And he'll say like the wrong language, and that's kind of the joke. But in this one, I think this is maybe the first instance of him trying this, and he completely fucks up the joke in like the stupidest possible way. I forget how far into the video it is. Why don't we just watch it and just like comment along with it? Sorry, Tom. But I honestly, this one is like, there's nothing really that nasty in this one. He's just like,
he's trying to figure
unhinged.
Out what he's going to do.
He hasn't like,
he hasn't figured out his brand established yet.
Yeah. So it is interesting from that perspective. Like if you watch him now, he's a well-oiled machine.
Joey, it's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a well-oiled machine now.
Yeah,
he's an oily machine, I should say. But like, he will say, "I'm Beak," very, very for like the most recent video. I feel like you know the screen grab you see going around, like my longest "Yeah, boy" ever. I feel like it's my longest.
No, I don't know that video. You said that like that's just
Dan.
Oh, you guys
it.
Have seen that video going around? The longest
you haven't seen
"Yeah,
it.
Boy"
on,
that
John.
He does.
Are you like, serious? Okay.
Why would
I
have seen it? I mean, I don't, and I feel like I'm more into the Joey world than most people on Earth.
Sure.
So I don't know why you would.
Well, that's not like a Joey related thing. I'm just using it as a comparison for the "I'm Back" he did in his most recent video.
Oh,
and I will also
I
say he went. So if you go to his website, which I do on occasion, it does say, and on the top of his, like his YouTube banner also says like, "Oh, I do 3 videos a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday." And he used to do that. He used to go review fast food 3 times a week. He's like 50. He just turned 57 this year. He's 57 years old.
He's 57.
Yeah. He's 57, John.
He somehow doesn't look that bad.
I know that's the thing, right? He
it's
actually
kind
looks
of weird.
Yeah, it's very strange. But
like, obviously, he's like grossly overweight and everything. But like, he doesn't.
He's
if
down
you had told
to,
me to guess his age, I would have thought he was like a bad-looking 45, not a like decent-looking 57.
It's very strange. It was very surprising to me. But he's 57 years old. He just turned 57. He is like he's not looking great. Now, obviously, but,
no,
he looks much younger in these older videos. But he's gotten, I mean, I said that his schedule is supposed to be 3 times a week and it still says that. And I think he's at the point now where it's like 2, maybe 3 videos a month. And he actually went 2 weeks between this video, the most recent one and the one before, to the point where we legitimately thought maybe he passed away because there's... Like, obviously, that could happen. I mean, that could happen for any of us at any time. We could have an aneurysm or, you know, whatever. But, like,
that's
Joey, there's, like, thought. A lot of... There's, of
yeah,
course, yeah. But
nice.
There's, Joey, there's, like,
and
a
Tom,
lot of possibilities.
And Tom, if you had one, it's your partner right, wouldn't know.
I mean, if she's on the couch, then...
We'd still
yeah.
be looking. Yeah.
Yeah. But it got to the point where we legitimately thought he was dead. Because what will happen is, you know, he'll go a week and a half without uploading a video. This was 2 weeks. And last time he kind of went around this long, we just checked his Twitter and he was like, oh, he's like replying to Jenna Jameson posting about QAnon. So he's still going, you know, he's on Twitter. He's like liking posts, but he hadn't liked a post. Absolutely. But he hadn't liked a post in like a week as well. So we were like, oh, he hasn't posted anywhere. He hasn't liked a post. So one of our, on our Twitch stream, one of our viewers emailed him. For like proof of life. And he was like, oh yeah, like I'm still alive. New video coming tonight. He posted it the next day. So that was a lie also. And the other thing in the email is that I feel like we haven't talked about this on the pod, but there's a video. So there was a point in like 2017 where Joey saw.
I feel like
where,
I'm on an episode of A&E's biography right
look,
now.
Look, I'm giving Tom. I want Tom to have like the history of Joey here. But there was a point in like 2017 yeah. where Joey clearly felt the comments section of his videos was getting too sexual. Because in a video where he was, I think it was like a Jack in the Box breakfast scramble review. And halfway through the video, he was like, okay, guys, if we could get serious here for a second, the comment section is getting a little too sexual. Like, I know you guys are having fun, but you know, let's all be adults here. And of course, you know how YouTube works. It just made things much, much, much worse and much more sexual.
Yeah, that was a horrible, horrible idea. So, but in fairness to him, at that time, he was like 54 years old. So he probably wasn't really understanding what was going on.
Yeah.
But he was
so,
in his sexual prime.
Absolutely, yeah. But it was around that point that the seat sniffing crew came into being, which is if you go into the comments, there's people saying, "Hey, it's the Joey's World Tour seat sniffing crew. We want to sniff your car seat after you're done reviewing all your food and like farting in the car seat. We want to smell the car seat." And around that time, I guess Joey was like, "All right, I just have to lean into this, I guess." And so he would start like liking those comments and replying to them and like shouting out the seat sniffing crew. And in the last year or so, what has happened is that people in the comments are pretending to be in a sex dungeon in Joey's basement. And they're like, "Oh, Daddy Joey, please release me from the sex dungeon so we can watch your review. Oh, Daddy Joey, it's so dirty down here in your sex dungeon." And he has embraced that as well. So he's liking those posts. He's replying to those posts. And in the email, in the reply to one of our viewers on the stream, he said, "Yeah, just stick around in that dungeon. New video coming tonight." So he's just like fully on board with it being canon that he has a sex dungeon where all of his viewers live. So
important part of the universe now. Yeah,
absolutely. So with that being said, this is his review of Panera Bread's smoked turkey breast sandwich. Yeah, and this is before the comments got very sexual. So this is sort of Joey before his like sexual awakening, I will say. But let's just watch and you know chat as we watch it. It's a nice Sunday morning experience. I think.
I was having a great Sunday morning until this happened.
From Joey's Super Cool Food Reviews, I'm back. How's it going, everyone?
That's the first one.
With you. Here's a shout out to the Rated R Viper One.
He seems nervous.
Viper One, check out his channel.
He didn't have his voice yet.
Yeah.
Wrestling
Rated R Viper One is just like such a good YouTube name.
Yes,
I love it.
Wrestling, check it out.
It's good to see his eyebrows were still insane back then.
Yes,
the Rock is cooking. You bunch of jabronis, what's going on? Okay, I went to I'm always driving by it.
It feels like you planned that opening for 2 weeks before you did it.
Yeah.
The pickle sandwich place. There's Togo's. I love Togo's. But today I'm going to give Panera Bread a shot. So I'm happy.
Wouldn't have ever expected Joey to review Panera Bread.
No, he does it from time to time. The healthy sandwiches.
Signature sandwiches, which cost a little more. This cost, I bought this, a sandwich and chips and a drink for like $8.59. So
it's like so cheap. What?
I don't know. Maybe it's me.
That's like really cheap.
Expensive. Gas is expensive. Sandwiches, burgers, everything's really expensive. Why?
Can you pause it for a second, Dan? Someone, we streamed this video on the Twitch stream, and someone in the chat pointed out, it's just very funny that the guy who reviews fast food in his car, when forced to think of things that have become expensive recently, was like, gas and these two types of food.
Yeah. Sandwiches,
burgers. Yeah.
Yeah. That's true.
Okay. I did also remember he does say something very heinous in this. Like he says something like very offensive. I don't know if we're going to get to that point. I just want to get to the point where he does the lechuga bit for the first time and completely bungles it. Okay. So let's keep playing it, Dan.
99 cents a gallon. Now I can't go anywhere because gas is too expensive. I have a big old V8, big old manly V8 engine in my car. Woo! Anyways. The chips. It's very earthy looking. Very earthy tones.
The chip review is insane here.
Have some chips. So
they're just kettle chips from Panera Bread.
Bread? Chips or a cookie? I go, give me the chips. I didn't even ask. They just threw these in here. I didn't even, like, oh, do you have barbecue? Or Do you have like Frito-Lays or something? Or like, you know, like some, do you have any like kettle popcorn or something you can throw in there? No, not even,
what?
Even asked me. So I just threw it in. So I got kettle cooked potato chips. So I'm not a big chippy guy.
That's a lie. Pizza.
Yeah.
Mexican style chips or nacho cheese or cheese puffs. Or barbecue. I guess I am into chips.
Yeah, I'm not a big chip like, guy. Proceeds I to like, list like seven types of chips.
Also, does he think, he thinks cheese puffs and kettle cooked popcorn are chips.
Yeah.
You know. Okay.
He also just referred to the kettle chips as kettle corn.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a potato chip.
It is rocket science because you just said it was the wrong, okay, anyway.
But we want to try the sandwich.
Sandwich.
Look at the wrap job. Wow. Very industrial, pop hell. That's paper.
Very industrial.
Anyway, so...
So he does... Okay, so pause for a sec, Dan.
I hope this...
He does the bit there where he says, that's paper in Swahili, where he says, like, say that's something in, like, a random language. And I think that's what throws him off for the lechuga bit that's coming up shortly. He also... How do you guys feel about pickles on sandwiches?
Not for me.
Really?
Yeah, I'll fuck with a pickle off sandwich, but
okay. But you still like pickles sandwich. Though.
Oh, I right? love pickles.
Okay,
I'm a
yeah.
recent convert actually, but yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Really? Man.
Okay, yeah.
What brought you on board?
The dying taste buds in my mouth got with some stronger taste. I got into hot sauce, got into pickles.
Okay,
I mean, just our mouth is dying gradually, yeah. Right, guys. So
no, yeah, that makes sense. True. You know, yeah, experience as much stuff as possible. Joey just hates pickles, like in general.
Oh,
like
he's like I love pickles, sandwich. But if I'm having a sandwich, I like a pickle on the side of a sandwich. I like a pickle
as
on
like
a burger.
A snack.
Yeah, I like a pickle yeah. on a burger and stuff like that. But on, yeah.
You know what's good to me is a pickle on a grilled cheese sandwich. That's very nice to me. Getting that bit of extra crunch in there. Mm. That's quite nice.
That's psycho shit. Goes
that's
on
not
the
psycho.
Side. You don't put
no,
a
that's
pickle
fine.
On a grilled cheese, dude.
You yes, you do.
Crunch on a sandwich, put the chips on there, baby.
Now, I do like the chips on a sandwich.
It's,
I mean,
now we're talking.
The honestly, the perfect lunch is just, I mean, any type of sandwich, basically, and then just some, like, a pile of, like, kettle chips on the plate yeah. next to
and
it. I mean, that's just an incredible, I'm probably going to do that for lunch today. Actually, you know what?
I bought a bun today when we were out.
Today is burger day, I think. I'm going to go out, get some stuff for burgers and make some burgers today. It's burger
you're
time.
You're not really a chips guy. You just like to have chips with every meal. But
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. If I'm putting any chips on my grilled cheese, it's kettle corn. So
there's also something like, I think he'll mention this here, but Joey likes a dry sandwich, which means a sandwich with no condiments.
Even worse.
Which is weird because he'll like burgers with condiments and stuff. Maybe this is just early Joey and he like learned how to enjoy condiments, but this sandwich is just
he finally
is so
took a
bad.
Condiment class, took his first condiment class.
Yeah.
At 56.
Yeah, I'm assuming it was something like that. But here we go, Dan. Let's see what he's got.
Stays in focus because, you know, I have a cheap camera. Anyways, so...
You didn't have to tell us that, Joey.
I threw a pickle in. Wow, I'm not into pickles. So I'm going to put that in the bag. Oh, this is very nice looking. Look at this, gang.
So what a psycho way of holding this.
Yeah.
For me.
So, tucking the wrapper of the sandwich under his chin.
He's holding it like a falconer's glove, like this.
Yes. The bread's cold. It's not like been sitting around all day out. And, you know
what?
What?
What does that mean?
Turkey.
It's
Wouldn't
been
you want
in the fridge.
Bread warm? You'd want it toasted.
Yeah, he likes a cold sandwich.
Lechuga,
here we go. Here it is.
Which is lettuce in what's a random country?
Okay.
In South Africa. I don't know if they have their own language there.
It gets worse. Hold on.
In Spain. In España.
Yeah, that's what it actually is. Yeah, no, that's actually the answer. So the joke doesn't work. That is the Spanish word for it.
Really? The Spanish word for lettuce is lechuga?
I believe it is. He fucked up that joke so bad that he got it correct at the end.
You can put it on. But I like my sandwiches dry.
What?
I had a bad experience when I was a kid. Having a mayonnaise, and I had a bologna sandwich, and I opened it up. I was at school, and the bologna and the mayonnaise turned all yellow. Bad experience. Anyway
we can pause.
Yeah,
it there.
You're right. Yeah, lettuce in Spanish is lechuga.
Yeah. So he went with South Africa, and there are other languages spoken in South
Africa.
Afrikaans,
so
So you know that technically works, I guess. And then he like. Kind of went back, thought better of it, and then chose the actual language that Lechuga is from, thereby completely defeating the purpose of the joke. And the joke is that it's some other random country. Yeah. It's just so funny to me how
it's
bad
it's not
he
even a good
landing.
Joke because it is the word in a language, right? Like, to me, it would have to be like a nonsense word to make the joke work, right? Like, it doesn't really make sense that
it's not,
is
it's not
actually
a good joke. Yeah.
No, I know, but I'm saying, like, even to make it a joke that would make sense in like joke structure.
Sure.
It's not funny to say the Spanish word for it and then pretend that that's like the Swedish word for it.
No, but that's his, like, he does that joke anytime there's lettuce and he points out that there's lettuce, he will do that joke. He's probably done that joke like 200 times at this point.
Oh, man.
That's insane.
It's got a real energy of the Wile E. Coyote, like putting dynamite like under a door and then being like, you know what? I'm going to go check out that dynamite, and it blows him up or whatever. Like sticking it, you know, trying to hide it, and it ends up in his own mouth.
Yes.
It just buries himself in 30 seconds, however long that was.
Yeah. It's incredible.
I love that. This is,
I told you that was a good
sandwich.
Joey.
The sandwich has a le laitue on it. And I think, what's that? What's a random country? England? no. Okay. I don't know. I think they speak English there. So I don't know. Russian. It's from Russia.
I also watched. I mean, we don't have to watch this, obviously, because I think you would kill me, John. But I watched a Peep This
Out
live
stream.
We're
at about 17 minutes of Joey content in a row. So
sure.
I think we could probably not do.
But I did want to tell you this. I forgot to tell you this last week.
Good.
I watched a Peep This Out live stream, and he actually did utter the phrase "Take a look at this." And held something up to the camera. Yeah. So I don't know if he's aware of your Peep This Out parody.
There's
or if he just
no
like said
way
that,
he
but.
Saw it. But if he did, that would be so funny.
Yes. And he also got both vaccines. He got the second shot and then recorded a video like the day after or the day of the second shot where he was like deathly ill. And if you watch the video, it looks like he is like going to die. He's like so clammy and like gray. And it's like, man, you can take the day off recording your fast food videos that like 200 people see. Like it's not a huge deal. You can go rest. You can go rest up. You don't have to review. He's reviewing a drink at McDonald's. I mean, no one needs that.
So he like drove himself to McDonald's feeling like death to review his drink.
And he sounds, I mean, it's really funny, but yeah. But
that's also what's going to get him through. That's what's going to turn it around is the drink.
That's true.
And then once you're there, you got to review it.
The drink looked good. It was like a watermelon slushy from McDonald's or something. So
fast food options are wild.
Oh, it's incredible. I mean, we're really missing out, you know?
Yeah, we get like one special menu item a year. They're just like throw it to us. Like
I feel like, do we have the fresh beef quarter pounder at this point? I think we finally got it recently. We don't have it? Do we not have it, Dan?
Dan would know.
I feel like we have it by now. You know what we don't have? We never got the spicy chicken nuggets. I'm still pissed off about that. I heard very good things about the spicy chicken nuggets, and I would legitimately love to try those things, and they just don't have them up here. How hard is that to get spicy chicken nuggets up here? You know, I'm getting pissed off. I feel like a legitimate fast food review guy now. I'm like actually pissed off about this.
This is why we tore up NAFTA, isn't it? So we could get a new trade deal where we can get what we need.
What's going on?
McNAFTA. That's what we were all. That was going to be the new name for it. And it was just going to be strictly related to McDonald's trade lines.
Shasta McNAFTA.
There we go.
There we go. Talking.
What's that's Shasta McNasty again? What is that?
That was the
UPN sitcom.
The UPN show with Jake Busey.
Jake Busey.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's like widely regarded as one of the worst TV shows of all time. It's
Shasta
really
McNasty.
Bad.
We should watch an episode of that for like a live stream.
I was
going to
say Dan has it for sure. I feel like we've talked about
it on
the show
before. We've talked about
before.
It on the show before, yeah.
And we read about it. Yeah, I feel like we read some of the episode synopsis. Yeah,
yes, that's right.
Yeah, God.
Shasta McNasty.
Oh my God.
What a name for anything.
Read a script on the pod.
That would be good. A dramatic reading.
A dramatic reading, yeah.
Wow, that's a really good. And bring on like all like.
These, bring on some friends.
You know, fan favorite guests and our friends and like. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
That's a good idea.
That's a great idea.
How hard will it be to find a Shasta McNasty script? We might have to sit and type it out ourselves.
We would have
to
do
the episode.
I wonder if, Dan, you're probably able to like pull the captions, like just get us the captions from like a source somewhere, right? Like,
yeah, or the recordings I have might have them if they were ripped properly.
Yeah. Okay. So we could potentially do that. I think the bigger issue is going to be finding one where we don't say like a slur or something, right? Because I don't think like those, that show has not a lot of shows from that era have like aged that well, but like that one especially. I feel like we have to dig deep to find
an audience appropriate.
Whole scenes are redacted.
We could just bleep stuff out. Okay, this is something to look into, though. We're gonna do some research and maybe this will be a recurring thing.
I'm just gonna do a real quick look at the episode list.
Okay,
just to see what one would be good to do. I think.
And are you just gonna go based off the title?
Just based off the description, yeah.
Well, and you'll need a full episode before for Stefan to kind of lay the groundwork on the whole series.
Yes.
Sort of explain.
Yeah. Oh, guys, I'll be honest. Just the episode titles alone.
I think we have to do episode 6. Angels in lingerie are devils in disguise.
It was either that or number 4, which is called Chubby Chick.
Oh no. How about 14, the F word? And that could be any number of words considering when this aired. So,
especially when you read the I saw that one and I was reading the like synopsis of it and it doesn't seem to suggest which F word they're talking about. So
oh my God. The final episode of the show is called Behind the Band 2010. And it's like a behind the music parody set 10 years in the future in 2010. Oh my God.
I think actually we should watch The Shortest Yard, where Vern Troyer thinks that if he joined a Pee Wee League football team that they would win because they have him on the team and he's an adult.
Oh my God, dude. Yeah, we're gonna have to do some research into
episode sounds really promising. First of all, agreed. It's directed by Savage Steve Holland. Love to have my nickname in the directing credits.
I've legally changed to represent who I am. Flat out savage.
Yeah, I'm just crazy. So this is The Shortest Yard. Vern bets his arch rival that his less than great Pee Wee League football team will win a game. Okay, sorry. So maybe he doesn't get involved.
So he's like a recurring character on the show.
And then meanwhile, Scott and Randy bribe a cheerleading team to appear by telling them that an LA Lakers cheerleading scout will be in the crowd.
Oh my God, dude. That
sounds real promising. Oh, Viva Vern Troyer doesn't play himself. He plays Vern Valentine.
Yes.
Just his first name only.
Dennis convinces Randy and Scott to come on his road trip to Las Vegas following the sequence of his free coupon book. I don't know what that means. The trip turns into a disaster when Scott's former high school girlfriend sticks her new boyfriend, a hitman, onto the boys. I mean, I really want to watch. Dan, are these on your Plex?
They sure are.
Okay, I may have to watch one of these. I've been like trying to watch like good movies and good TV shows recently, now I'm going to just voluntarily watch Shasta McNasty. Good Lord.
A sneak preview of the series after UPN's highly rated WWF SmackDown drew 4.5 million viewers.
Am I crazy or does every like hangout episode we do turn into us looking at the Shasta McNasty episode guide? I feel I feel like the last time we looked at this was on a hangout episode as well.
It might have been. I mean, we had Jesse on for the Pacific Rim one. So yes. I don't think we talked about it on that. And then I think we had Dave and Graham on before that.
I feel like we did. I know we talked about the James Joyce sex letters on that one, obviously.
Yes.
And I read them aloud and they were very, very nasty and horny.
Very nasty. Very horny.
Yeah.
That's basically what happens. Whenever we do a hangout episode, it just gets nasty and horny.
It does. Of course. Yeah.
What else could we do?
Isn't that hanging out?
It is, I think. Yeah.
It's hanging out with the boys.
Yeah. I mean, I'd like to hang out with, I mean, you know, John, I think we should record, an episode in a park, you know, maybe we do something like that, right? We go sit at like a picnic table, record an episode in a park. Cause I still can't go to like, I'm getting the shot in like 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And I mean, they're not going to like open up restrictions until like August or September probably.
Yeah.
So I feel like I just realized it's probably gonna be going on a year since we last recorded in person. The next time we record in person. Cause the last time we recorded in person was like end of October, right?
October. Yeah.
Yeah. God damn. You might be in a new apartment. We may never get to record in that studio again.
Maybe.
That's like we'll sad see. To think about. Yeah.
I mean, we might stay here. We haven't decided yet.
No. Honestly.
No, you got to move, John.
Yeah. Thank you, Tom. Thank you. I mean, the main reason I want him to move is because we're on an NHL 21 team together and his connection drops like, not all the time, but he's our goalie, right? And so I play as like a forward, if my connection drops, which it won't, I have great fiber internet, no issues whatsoever. But, you know, let's say
solid.
It's very solid. Let's say it did drop. If it did drop, we wouldn't lose the game automatically. But for whatever reason, if John's connection drops, EA has set it up so that if the goalie backs out of the game or loses connection, your team just automatically loses. So John,
it's a lot of pressure on me, really.
It is. And you're our goal and you're great at goalie too. Like you're fantastic at it. You're very, very good at it.
Thank you.
Because I feel like you pitched it to us that you would be our goalie, right?
Yeah, it kind of came up. Brant was sort of saying that, like, because I was bugging Brant about not ever letting me play with you guys. And then he was like, well, we've sort of talked about having a human goalie. And then I was like, oh, I would probably consider doing that. And then he was like, oh, really? Like, do you think you could get good at it? And I was like, I think so. Yeah, I think I could be okay. And then, yeah, and then it just kind of went from there. And then I believe Brant like told practice. You and You're Chad that he incepted me into doing it. But yes, I was like, I don't think so. I think I just said yeah. But yes, I did practice. And
you watched like YouTube videos explaining,
I watched
like,
YouTube
how to be
videos. I mean, I did this all for the boys. And, you know, it's nice. Tom obviously is a huge Maple Leafs fan like myself. So it's the first game.
Is that today or is it tomorrow? Oh, no, I guess it's
Thursday.
Not, no, right. Because of the Canucks.
It's Thursday because we have to wait for the Canucks to finish their season because Adam Gaudette just had to eat in a restaurant. You know,
that's so fucking funny. I love that.
So, yeah, it's fucking us over now. It's
I'm getting potentially close to maybe being, I mean, we'll see what happens. But with the news that's going on, I might actually start
getting a tattoo. Getting a tattoo.
That's not happening. There's no way I'm
okay.
doing that.
Okay. Wow.
No.
I mean, Tom, you were a guest on Real Good Show as well.
Yes.
And Stefan promised on that show the day that Jim Benning got fired, he would get the date tattooed on himself.
No. Wow. I can't. No.
So.
I'm backing off on that promise.
Wow.
Because I'm a coward. But
That is unbelievable.
Backing off that promise very often, but it is very sad every time you hear it.
Of course. It's crushing. I think a lot of our listeners were looking forward to this. But I think part of it is that...
Yeah, me! I was looking forward to it.
But I think the main thing is I just like stopped watching hockey for like 2 years. And so I just don't feel the connection. Like it's just total apathy. And I don't want to get a tattoo. If I was like I think if he does get fired... And they do like a restructuring in the ownership group. Like I don't want to say excited. I don't think I could ever get excited again, but like, I think I'll just be like, I mean, he's so stupid. It's so insane to me at this point. I was telling John the other day that I think that like the reason I think Jim Benning might get fired is that the stupid fans of the Canucks are starting to turn on him. And the majority of like every team's fan base is very stupid. So when the stupid fans start to turn, you're fucked at that point because it's the majority of the fan base. Like the smart fans turned on Jim Benning in like 2014, right? But that's like 5% of the fan base. And so it doesn't matter at all. But the stupid fans, the fans that are signing up for credit cards at the game so they can get a free team blanket. when they're upset at the
when
GM,
they're out, you're in trouble.
You're in trouble. And that was what happened with Mike Gillis is that the stupid fans turned on him very, very quickly. Because they were very spoiled with having a good team to follow, and Mike Gillis used big words and didn't talk down to them.
They looked at Mike Gillis like an elite. You know?
It really was an anti-intellectual thing. I really do believe that. And Jim Benning comes along, and I mean, he sounds exactly like Kevin from The Office. And so 90% of the fan base is like, all right, now he's speaking my language, the language of a very stupid man. And so they love him. They love him. And I think, you know, the stupid fans are finally turning on him. Maybe that'll be enough, but I'm sure they'll still fuck it up. So I don't want to get too excited, but I want to be able to watch hockey again. If there's one thing I've learned over the course of this pandemic is that, it's soccer is just like so much better as a sport. And it's just like so much more watchable. And I mean, the main reason for that is that like way more people watch it and there's way more money on the line. So the product itself is just so much better. Like going from like watching like a Champions League game to watching just like a Tuesday night Canucks game is just, It's so funny. It's just like so, I mean, John, I know you agree with me in terms of like the NHL's product. You know, that's
well,
like the best.
I just, you know, the Leafs are the best they've ever been in my lifetime. Tom, how are you feeling? Are you feeling about the Leafs in the playoffs here?
I feel exactly the same about both those points. Like, I've really been drifting away from hockey, but you gotta stay with these Leafs. They're a great time. And I mean, I've been, you know, since John and I have been friends our whole lives, we've been cheering for this team that's been fucking bad mostly. So yeah, it's like, I've been just following. In fact, this thing with the Canadian division being a week behind because of the Canucks, like I knew the Canucks all got COVID or whatever, but I didn't know the whole league just stayed a week ahead. That's why I was like, why the fuck are the Leafs not starting till Thursday? Like, I've just only been following this division because it's just not a very compelling league in general for me. But
I just found out the other day I saw that Nashville is playing Carolina in the playoffs. And I was like, wait, that doesn't make any sense. They're in different conferences. And then I looked for like the first time and I was, oh, okay. Because they redid the... Okay,
yeah, they redid the divisions. I know. Well, like, it's just so weird. Like, I don't... Yeah, I feel like just not seeing the teams play the Leafs.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I don't know what's going on. I don't know who's on what team, what even happened. And
the only
stuff
I followed this year was just the players that are on my fantasy team. Like, that's what sort of got me back into hockey this year was just following those players only.
Yeah.
And it was fun and it was exciting, but like, I don't know. There's just like the NHL.
The NHL
is
a league is definitely like just so shit.
It's just Bush League.
Sucks so bad.
Yeah.
But now it has almost like a Champions League feel where it's like if well, let's say the Leafs, big knock on wood, let's say the Leafs win out of this division, it will be like they're going to play in another league. And I'll be like, what team is this they're going to play? Like, okay.
That is pretty cool.
The Dallas North Stars. Okay, great. What are they like? What's their season been?
And they should get out of the, because the North Division is like dog shit. Like they should. They should.
I mean, it's the Leafs.
Who could say?
Yeah, it's the Leafs. We don't know. I mean,
but it's the Leafs, and it's also what I hate about hockey is that it's just a total coin flip. And the best team doesn't always win. Like
the best team has really only like a
20% chance.
Yeah, 20 per, like it's like 60-40. If you take like the number one seed in the playoffs playing the number 16 seed or whatever, it's like the number one seed wins like 70% of the time.
Yeah. Like I can tell you how apathetic I am.
Except
about
basketball is like when one plays eight. One wins like 95% of
every single
time.
The only one I can think of is like when Golden State beat Dallas or whatever that one year.
Right.
But like that's it's so rare. I mean, I think the reason I can tell I'm just like so apathetic and especially about like the Canucks, obviously, is that like I don't care if the Leafs win the cup this year because like they're like fun. And also because
we need, Stefan, that's what
we need it, baby.
And honestly, also because it would piss off. I mean, it'll piss off like the majority of the Canucks fan base, but the majority of the Canucks fan base is so fucking stupid. And I honestly hold them personally responsible for the majority of my sports misery the last like 7 years or so. Just having to deal with them and listen to them just be so fucking dumb for 7 years. I mean, longer than that, but the last 7 years especially. And so if the Leafs won, they would be so upset about it. And also, I'd prefer the Leafs to win than Edmonton winning. Like, no question. Edmonton winning would be the absolute worst. I would actually be mad about that. But the Leafs winning, whatever. They have some cool players. They're fun. I've got a lot of friends who are Leafs fans. What are they going to do? They're going to make fun of the Canucks for never winning a Stanley Cup again? Like, yeah. Like, nothing is going to change as a Canucks fan at all. Like, go ahead. They can win the Cup. I don't care. You have my blessing, John and Tom.
Wow. That's so thank
nice,
you.
Stefan. Thank
yeah,
you.
You're welcome.
Well, in return, I'll say for the first time in my life, like Canucks games are, I feel really bad to attend for that same issue. The fans tend to be real shit in the stands and just not a good energy.
Yeah.
But fuck, I'd pay good money to see a Canucks game right now. I'd watch any sports event live. I'd front row. I'd pay for lower bowl.
I go see a BC Lions game.
Yeah. Let's see
what?
Lions game.
I'm going to walk that one back, I think. That's pushing it. I go see a Whitecaps game.
That's, I mean, if I went to a BC Lions game, it would be, I mean, me and the BC Lions were having our own pandemic for the last 10 years where I didn't go to any of their games. So
my dad and I had season tickets when I was a kid.
Oh,
like
they
were
right.
fun. Like when the Lions were like really good and like they would like sell out the lower bowl at BC Place. Like those are fun games. You know, that was like CFL football at its best is like honestly pretty fun because it's like three down football. It's just totally insane. So much stupid shit happens. But when it's like really bad,
you get some nice low quality players.
Yeah. But when it's bad, I mean, it is so bad when it's bad. And it's the same with like, I mean, you're a huge Whitecaps fan, John, right? Like,
well, don't even get me started on the Whitecaps last few seasons. It's not been good. It's like, hey, have you ever wanted your team to be really bad on the field and also the entire organization as a culture of abuse that gets slowly revealed one step at a time? Do we have a franchise for you? It sucks ass.
I mean, sports in general is just like, that's why, I mean, you guys with the Leafs right now, you're very lucky, obviously, but it is, I think I truly do believe this, that the worst thing you can have as a sports fan is like hope or like the belief that your team might actually do it. Like in 2011 with the Canucks, it's like 10 years ago now. I tricked myself when they were up 2-0. I was like, oh my God, it's finally going to happen. In the back of my head, I was like, they're going to find a way to fuck this up for sure. But like, you do have that belief. So like, if the Leafs get to the finals and lose, you will experience true pain. Like it will wipe everything, every slate. Like it's everything is gone before that. It was 4-1 in the third against Boston. That is child's play compared to losing in the Stanley Cup final. You will, if the Leafs get to the finals and they lose, you will understand true like hockey fan pain, because that basically
a fucked up tarot card reading. You're like, you guys are going to do it. I think you're going to do it. But if you do it,
if you
will have your heart thrashed.
I'm just saying obviously I was going to say, yeah, if they get to the finals, you better hope they win. But like, I really do mean that because it is there. I mean, there is nothing even close to it. For me, it's 2011, the Canucks losing. Then like my grandpa dying, my other grandpa dying, probably losing in like the second round against Chicago 2 years in a row. But I mean, I'm joking, but like it is pure, because it's like the Stanley Cup is the hardest trophy in professional sports to win, because it's just so much luck needed to win it. You need everything to go right. You can't have injuries. You need every bounce to go your way, and to get as close as you can possibly get and lose, it's just like, okay, I can never go through this again, basically. So,
I mean, I personally, me myself, lost three provincial finals in curling.
No, so,
so that's, I don't know if it could be worse than that. It might be. I don't know.
I'm telling you, it is.
Okay, but counterpoint, positive tarot, happy tarot.
Yes.
The fucking Raptors, man.
There you go.
Like,
exactly.
We had that feeling. It was an incredible run. Almost every series had like a life defining high. The four bounces, of course, fucking great conference final. And then, you know, then you get into some life shit and like, you know, I went to a finals game.
Yeah.
Went to my first finals game and they won that game. I'm wearing this shirt today, the championship shirt. It's like you carry that shit forever, which I'd never experienced. And just experiencing that after a life of sadness, that sadness brightens all those sweet tastes, you know?
Yeah,
so you
that's what I always told myself with curling. Well, I was like, I'm keep losing because then once I win, it will be amazing. But
yeah, but then that's what I told myself as a Canucks fan too. And then
they haven't won yet. So
no,
that's,
I know. And so 2011, it was just like, oh, okay, it's just like never going to happen ever.
Right.
Like it's been 50 years. I mean, the Cubs, it was like over 100 years until they won, right?
Yeah, and you could have legitimately had like a full and healthy life. And never saw
not
the
healthy
win.
But like legit, like,
no,
oh,
no,
me,
I'm not
like
saying you, I'm just
okay,
saying
yeah,
this
yeah.
is the royal you, Stefan.
Like an average person,
a person
who is
but I mean, like you could live like what most people would consider to be like just a great, full, healthy life and never see the Cubs win the World Series.
For 100%.
And the Leafs are not far off.
No,
we are,
absolutely.
We are almost 60 years.
Yeah, it sucks. And so like they keep adding new teams, so it gets harder and harder. I legitimately think it is likelier that the NHL as a league will fold than the Canucks winning a Stanley Cup in the next like 50 years. Like,
I mean, that's possible. I mean, who knows what the future holds for us in the climate wars?
I mean, ideally, what happens is,
do you promise to get a tattoo?
If the league, yes,
folds before the Canucks win a cup,
I will get a tattoo.
On my
saggy ass, I will get a tattoo of the date the NHL shut down forever. So,
that's good. I like that.
Yeah, that's a promise that tattoo. I'm not going back on. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I mean, we'll see if you and I are even still talking. Then
this was a bit of this is a throwback episode. This is some sports talk. This is nice. I like this.
Yeah,
you know,
we got intense with it.
Just chopping it up with the guys.
Just chopping it up with the fellas. Yeah. I was going to say, Tom, like you wearing the shirt. Like I used to think I was always like, champions gear, you know, like people buy like the hat, the championship, like, oh, hats and shirts and whatever. And I was like, that shit is so tacky. It's over. Like you can't, it's like, you know, cool to wear for like a month and then who cares?
It's always cool to wear. I have the Seahawks.
And that's what I realized
I
when the Raptors won and I was like, and I bought some Raptors stuff and I'm not even like the biggest basketball fan. I was like, oh my God, if the Leafs win the Stanley Cup, I might go, like, I'll go into debt probably. Like, I'm going to, I'm going to buy everything, but I'm also going to be like, oh, this was a game used puck in game two of the finals and it's $2,000. Yep, absolutely. Let's go ship it to my house. Like, I will be,
all of your Top Shot earnings are going to go towards Leafs memorabilia.
Yeah, exactly. So I'll be there. I mean, yeah. And especially with the Leafs, like, they know how to merchandise. I mean, you can get the Leafs logo on just about anything you want. So imagine if they win the championship.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, I've established for myself that if one of my teams makes the finals, I'm going. So,
oh yeah, me too.
That's the financial cost I've established for myself. But I mean, that's fun. It's like, okay, great. I got to go to, what team are they playing? you're almost certainly not going to Toronto, where the tickets will be more expensive than anywhere else. So it's cheaper to fly to Nashville or whatever.
Yeah.
But great. Okay, great. Got to go on like a wild 48-hour trip to like attend a.
Yeah, because you went in Oakland, right? When the Raptors were,
Game three, was it? Or game four? Three? Yeah.
Did we talk about this last time I was on?
I feel like we talked about it. I don't know if this was real good show that it wasn't because it was blocked. But I think you were just about to go.
Yeah, okay. Maybe. I've always said that too. Like what I think I would probably do is, I mean, this is what would suck if the Leafs win this year, because we won't be able to go anywhere.
Yeah. So it's in Edmonton, isn't it?
But
the final?
If it was like in Nashville, we could probably get to Nashville and they'll for sure have a nice full stadium in the U.S.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. And I would do
shout out to just going for it. And
yeah,
you know what, guys?
Exactly.
Fully vaccinated people don't need masks. Let's just let them into. You want to go to
done.
Costco?
We're
then?
Done. Yeah. The U.S. is done. They've decided they're done. Yeah, you're right. Like,
we got a bunch of people vaccinated. Let's ride.
Let's
do
roll.
It.
I'm just looking at the Shasta McNasty page as well. I just have like, I can just see a sliver of it below the Zoom call. And this episode, the whole plot revolves around after a brief stint dressed as a cow, Dennis sells people looks at the Leonardo DiCaprio shaped rash it left on his behind in order to collect rent money. Incredible. I mean, that's so good.
And that's the A plot.
That's the A. That is the A plot. Yeah. The B plot is elsewhere. Scott tries his hand at working at a skate shop before Mexican wrestling. So, yeah. We got to watch this fucking show. It sounds so stupid.
Yeah, we got to watch it.
Oh, my God.
But yeah, what I think I'm going to do is I will not only go see the Leafs, but then I will go to Toronto after that to be in Toronto when they win.
Yes.
It'll be a double whammy. I'll fly to like, whether it's game one or two or game three and four, wherever that is in America, I'll fly there and then I will take the flight to Toronto for the remainder of the series. And it'll get wild.
I love it.
And honestly, you won't regret it for a second.
I definitely won't.
I was like not sure if it was just so expensive and stuff. I was not sure that would feel like the right decision later. No regrets.
I've never had a regret about a sporting, like I got really lucky a couple years ago where I did a debaters taping in Ontario and the Leafs season opener, home opener, was like the night after the debaters. And so I was just going by myself. So I'm like a single ticket. I can probably get like a decent ticket. And it was like $300. And I was like, am I really going to spend $300 to go to one game? It was John Tavares's first game as a Leaf also. I've never regretted it. And not for one second, I never have. And not that $300, I mean, I know if I went to see a Stanley Cup game, it'd be much more than that. But I mean, maybe not in the States. Maybe it'd be like 500-ish. 1,000 maybe?
Yeah, like upper bowl. Probably.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, $1,000, I mean, whatever. Yeah. You know? Yeah. But you're right, Tom. Like, I don't know that I would ever regret that. Even in the moment, if it seems like a lot, or even concerts, I paid like $200 to see Taylor Swift. I didn't regret that for one second. It was awesome.
Let me see any concert right now.
Well, that's also true, too.
I'll give you $200. Is that the end of the show?
That'll be a big night. We'll go see the BC Lions and Kenny Chesney.
I've been to a couple of Grey Cups when they were in Vancouver, and the halftime shows were Nickelback was one of them. Yeah, the Black Eyed Peas was the one in like 2004, 2005, I think. And I went with like my dad and my grandpa. And I mean, this was BC Place before they renovated it, so the acoustics were so fucking bad. Because it was like the big like marshmallow roof, right? And they did not really do anything to fix the acoustics at all for the performance by the Black Eyed Peas. So you were in the stands, you could not hear a word anyone was saying. It sounded so bad. I remember just looking over at my grandpa, who was like 80 years old, and he was just like, what the fuck is this trash? He was so confused and so angry. And it was just like, I mean, it was total dog shit. And I think I remember the rumor that year was that the Rolling Stones were almost going to play the halftime show because they were like going to be in town, for like a concert around that time. And they like had connections with someone who was like running the whole thing. And so like, we were excited about the possibility of the Rolling Stones. And then it was the Black Eyed Peas playing, Where's the Love? But it sounded like they were in like a cave. And I mean, it was, and like, you know, the CFL fan demographics, it's not really what you're aiming for with the Black Eyed Peas. So people were just completely checked out. Nickelback, on the other hand, people were fucking loving that. Like they were going all out for that. So, and that was,
I mean,
when
I'd
they
watch
renovated
Nickelback at a sports game. That feels like the right time to, if I'm going to see Nickelback, like if I'm going to be at a football game and I see Nickelback play like three songs at halftime, I'm probably like,
yeah,
this is perfect. That's like the right amount of Nickelback to see.
At halftime of the Grey Cup, the CFL championship game. I mean, that fit. That felt like, okay, this makes sense. But it was so funny. Everyone in the crowd was just like, what? I mean, what is going on? This is a disaster. But yeah, I mean, a big part of
that
was
the CFL got those. It feels like a big achievement. They got those acts.
It was like, it was surprising, but I feel like it was also like right as the Black Eyed Peas were getting big. And like they weren't like huge at this point yet.
No Fergie yet?
I think Fergie was there, but she wasn't like on her own. Like I think it was right when like Where Is the Love came out, and that was like their big hit at the time.
Where is the love?
I mean, that was a classic, you know? But yeah, I mean, I would go, I'm so desperate for just going to see something. I would go see that again, no question right now. Like,
totally.
Oh my God.
Well, boys. It's been great
this
chopping
is nice.
It up.
This was a great hangout.
Chopping it up nice. With the fellas. Yeah. Very, very nice Sunday afternoon hangout. Tom, before we go, is there anything you'd like to plug?
Yeah, I'm thinking about doing comedy again in 2022, so look out for me.
Congratulations. Okay. We'll
right.
see you
yeah.
back there.
Yeah.
People can follow you on Instagram at just Tom
it's
Hill?
Tom no. Hill.
It's Tom Hill.
Just Tom.
Yeah.
It's Tom Hill. There
yeah.
you go.
I recommend throwing a contraction in your handle so that you're always missing the punctuation in your handle.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's
something
I recommend. Yeah. It's a great idea.
Can you start commenting on my hand situation again? I miss it. I mean, a big part of it is I'm no longer, we're not doing the photos at the studio, but like if you could find a way to bring that up in the comments on my photos, I would appreciate that.
Stefan, as a friend, I'd be happy to.
Thank you.
Could you also sort of comment on some part of my body on my part?
Yeah, what are you thinking? Shoulders?
Shoulder management? I got a pretty fucked up left shoulder. You could sort of build on that, get something going with that.
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Wow.
That's so nice.
That sounds
and
spicy.
John, what do you want me to make fun of for you, John? Your penis and balls?
That's honestly where my mind went first.
Yeah. I mean, what about your dumper? I mean, you got a big juicy, you're caked up back there. That's not making fun. That's like complimenting you.
That's what I mean. It's tough to like make fun of it.
I would like to be positive about your big juicy ass.
Obviously I welcome that for sure. I mean, I think that's totally fine. I also like, if you want to get negative, I have really big nostrils, so you could get, you know,
they look fun. Well, you're flaring them there.
Well, I know, but they're like, I mean,
but when you flare
it's
them,
tough
I
to
mean,
tell, it's tough to tell on Zoom just how big they are, but they're really
like, I can flare mine too. Right. Like
Tom is really liking my,
takes my breath away when you open them up like that.
I'm doing it too, but it's not as you're
absorbing all the air in the city when you open them up.
Oh, it's unbelievable. It's like when pollen, like right now, my allergies are on high alert. I mean, you can't even imagine this. It's like,
minor.
Let's all do the nostril.
Yeah, let's do the nostril thing.
It's real good.
Dan, can you also do it?
Stefan, yours look pretty normal. Tom, yours Okay. Oh, okay. Those are actually like, that's
okay,
pretty
good. Okay, are we getting this?
Stefan's is good because you have like a really dumb look on your face when you do it for some reason.
Because I have to kind of tilt my head back a little bit, right?
Yeah, like,
and I do something with my lips too.
Should
right?
I be taking pictures of this?
Yeah,
here we
yeah,
go.
Yeah.
Okay. So, okay. Yeah, so, Stefan, you're going to go first here. Okay, ready? Go. It almost feels like a really fucked up driver's license picture. Okay, Tom, I just got to get you in frame here. Okay, you're good. Okay, that's, I like the shape of yours, Tom.
Yeah.
It's a really nice, like, you've got a good. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay,
so
and then I'll do myself here.
Okay.
And I think this is, people are going to really not like this at all.
I feel like mine are about as big as
Tom
yours
is still
when
laughing.
I do it.
I've done it like 6 times and he's laughed every single time I've done it.
Oh boy.
I feel like mine are like the same size as yours though.
That one chops me up.
Like, oh no, yours are bigger.
Are certainly bigger.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
Yeah. Dan, are you want in on this?
No, I'm not participating in this part.
It's good to have boundaries, Dan. That's good.
Yeah,
that's
fair. That's totally
I respect
fair.
It. That's fine.
All right. So Stefan, you're going to comment on Tom's shoulders and Tom's going to comment on your hands and you guys are both going to go in on my nostrils / ass.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Okay.
Stefan, what are you doing with the shoulder? What are you thinking? What's your strategy?
Maybe it's kind of like, have you been going through some stuff recently, Tom? Looks like you're carrying a pretty heavy load on the left shoulder there. Cause maybe it's like lower than the other one or whatever potentially.
Mm.
Yeah. Sort of also attacking your like personal life as well. So
okay, that's strong for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause
you're going through a lot of personal, like heavy personal issues, Tom, because of your shoulder. It looks like you're carrying a lot of heavy weight on that personally.
I think people are going to be worried about this angle online.
Is it like too, it's like too far, I think, right? So I have to
Your friends are
going to
be like, who's this boring as heck guy? What does he know?
Yeah, they're not
going to
know who I am.
Because the problem, what I would say is I know if that happened to me, my mom would text me because she wouldn't know like online, you know, like Stefan, if you commented something like that on me, my mom would text me and be like, oh, what is Stefan talking
about?
Will she
text you if I make fun of your big ass though?
No, that's fine. She's okay.
She knows about her son's big ass.
I assume so. Yeah.
Yeah. I could ask her. I could ask her parents if they know about your big dumper.
Maybe that's where we draw the line.
Okay.
Who knows? I don't know. That's maybe more of an in-person thing. Like if you're just kind of joking around with my parents in person, that's probably fine.
Yeah.
But maybe like on an internet, like on an online basis, I don't know if that's really the.
Gee whiz, Mrs. C, your son has just a massive can.
Did you give your son a double wide parking spot to go with that huge, big ass you've got to back up into it?
His ass is so big. He's got such a big ass. Anyway, it's great to
the
see you.
The funny part is my dad is very small. Like I've talked about
your
that.
Your dad has a small
like,
ass.
Well, he's just a small guy. He's 5'5" and he weighs 130 pounds. So like my dad has small everything. So it's like, I don't know.
And
where,
those are the measurements of your ass. Your ass is 5'5".
It's a big 5'5". Yeah.
Yeah.
You're checking out different specifications on the ferry when you're out of the ferry.
Yeah, I got to park on the lower deck.
I want to do the porno thing with John's ass where it's like a fisheye lens and I've got like the tape measure like going across it, you know? You know what
no,
I mean.
No, I don't know, Stefan. Please tell
Dan,
us more about
Dan
this
Dan knows what I mean.
Thing.
Dan knows what I mean.
Yeah, I got
back
you,
me
Stephen.
Up here. You got it. You got it. Our listeners know what I'm
talking
about. Is that
a porno thing? What is that?
You see it in like the promotional photos for porno a lot of the time.
Oh, okay. I see.
Yeah. Pornos, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you want to measure my ass like it's a porno.
Yes. And okay. And they do, I think there is some trick photography involved. I think we stopped recording like 10
no,
minutes
no,
ago.
No, no, this is we're okay. This is all part of the show.
So I think there is trick photography, but it is like a fisheye lens that I think, I mean, the asses are massive, but I feel like they right. seem much bigger because of the lens. So maybe okay. we do some of that with
maybe
your
next
ass
time and, Tom comes back, instead of doing the nostrils thing, we'll all do that. We'll do like the, we'll measure our asses.
Yeah.
That
stand
really
on my
nice.
Chair
that
and
sounds really pleasant and nice.
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Okay. All right. We got a lot of stuff planned for the next time wow. you're back, Tom.
A lot of great stuff. A lot of great
read.
Yeah.
yeah. Full table read of Shasta
measuring
McNasty.
Our asses. Yeah.
Measuring our asses.
All right.
It'd be nice to do even some measurement porn where we're just measuring different things with different methods. That'd be nice.
Yeah.
Ooh. Get into that. Get really up close with that. Put some music
absolutely.
On.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Ooh, I like that. That was, I had a science project I remember in like grade 6 or 7 or something where that was literally the whole project was you had to come up with a way of measuring something without using a ruler. So you had to like design some sort of method that you could like demonstrate to the class. Like how would you measure this thing without ever using a ruler? So you couldn't be like, oh, well, you know, these spaghetti noodles are a uniform length of this much. And so like you had to come up with a way of measuring it. We did that for physical objects and time as well. We had to like come up with a way of measuring time. I built a Kinex roller coaster and timed out every second that the thing on the
oh my God.
Car passed. Anyway, I was in the gifted program.
I thought you were going to say you showed up and
messed up.
Brought a fisheye lens and you're like, I figured out how to measure this huge dumper I got.
In grade 6, I don't think my bigger dumper came later in life. I think it's mostly curling that gave me this blessed cake. So I think at that time I wasn't curling yet. So I was just a skinny ass little kid.
You got to be able to hack it to hack it, you know?
Absolutely.
Curling reference for you.
That's a great way to end the program. Thank you, Tom, for being here. Thanks, everyone, for donating to the show and listening. We love you and we appreciate you. We've got 2 great bonus episodes coming up with our friends from What a Time to Be Alive. We're going to be doing a trivia party episode with Eli and Patty Moe. That'll be coming up in the first week of June. And then just before that, we've got our next edition of the Canadian Education Program for Foreign Podcasters, where Kath Barbadoro is going to be joining us to review some Stampede Wrestling. It's going to be a great time. So keep it locked right here on the Block Party Patreon. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you again soon. Bye.
Goodbye.
Later.